One word from God can revolutionize your life. We pray that as you listen, you will gain a new dimension of faith and hope that will arise to obtain the purpose God has for you. Be blessed.
And the system of the kingdom of God and how it is operating and how it operates with the it factor. We have discussed the it factor for the last 3 weeks, and what we told you was basically this, that it, the word it means that which someone is exactly looking for. In other words, what God is saying is before time, before your mother met your father, your grandfather met your grandmother, I put in you every talent, every ability, every capability, every gift, every resource. Let me explain something to you. God gave you everything you needed before you were born. It is your obligation and your duty to activate what is on the inside of you. Have you ever noticed when you are faced with a situation, you're faced with a problem, that the answer never comes from the outside? It always comes from the inside, because God is responsible for you. Now, let me explain something. If God is responsible for you, that means he is responsible to equip you to meet the needs that you will face, the situations that you will face, the problems that you will face, and every circumstance that you will face. How dare you even begin to think that God will put you on this earth and not equip you? How irrational is it to think that God is such a dummy that he'll put you in this environment and he will not equip you to operate and circulate in that particular environment? God supplies all of your needs. If your needs are not met, it is simply because you have not activated what he has put on the inside of you. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Come on and begin to praise him. Let me explain something to you. Satan knows and understands that what God has placed in you is so powerful. It is so effective. It is so useful that if you ever get a whiff of it, if you ever understand who you are and what has been placed in you, there will be no room for defeat and failure. He understands and knows. If you ever get the wisdom of God and the understanding of what God has given me outside of time to operate in time, I can excel in every area of my life. And so Satan's job is to stop you from becoming what God wants you to become, number one. Number two, his job is to make you think that God has not released anything in you. Number three, his job is to hide the it factor in you, is to hide your talent, your ability, your capability, your giftings, and your resources. He understands if you ever get a hold of it and you start to use it, then what comes in place is John, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. The it factor, that which answers exactly to what one is looking for. Have you ever met a person and that person answered what you were looking for? Have you ever met a situation or was in a situation and someone came with the answer? That's what the it factor is. The it factor is given to you so that you can solve problems. The it factor is given to you so that you can heal your body. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're what? That means you take the word of God and you heal yourself by the word of God. Jesus is not coming back down on earth. He says, I sit on the right hand of the Father. He said, greater works shall you do. The it factor is what God gives you to prosper, to be productive, to make a profit. The it factor is the fight. Somebody say fight. It's the fight. It's the ferociousness my God, that God has placed on the inside of you. When the devil tries to steal and kill and destroy, the infector rises up and says, oh, no, you don't. But most of you don't use what's on the inside of you. Are you still here, Kevin? You here? Most of you don't understand, because we're so used to, oh, poor little old me. Oh, God knows my heart. And I've been wrestling with this for 20 years. I've been broke for 20 years. I've been addicted for 20 years. I've been sick for 20 years. I've been in a bad relationship. Whatever happened to God? Whatever happened to God delivering instantly? Am I reading my Bible correctly? Or have I missed something? Does not your Bible say that when a man wants deliverance and he comes to God, that the power of God comes on the face of that man, on the body of that man, and that man ain't got to go to 99 counseling sessions. He ain't got to work for 15 years to get delivered. The power of God will instantly deliver. We have walked away from the basic fundamentals of Christianity. The basic fundamentals of Christianity means this: God can deliver you just like that. And this is what we do. Let me tell you what the enemy has done. He has made the church a counseling session. He has made the church like the 9-point alcoholic session. You come into the church, you have a need, you need to be delivered. And it takes you 20 years to get delivered. It takes you 15 years to get delivered. Oh, wait a minute. I can go to AAA and it take me 15 years. Hello, somebody. I can go to Alcoholics and Narcotics Anonymous and it takes me 15 years. But the Bible says that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And it says with the finger of God. You know what the finger of God is? The word of God that you use. The finger of God. The reaction that you use. The finger of God, you can cast out devils. Ask your neighbor, say, have you got the it factor? My God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah, the first chapter. I need you to understand something. See, And God began to deal with me on yesterday. He actually dealt with me when I was dealing with my brother Fred, and we were talking about a situation, and I asked him, what happened to the instant deliverance power of God? And that question stuck with me. And so when we came into the sanctuary on yesterday, God began to deal with me again. He said, what has gone on with the saints of God? Is the saints of God have gotten so lackadaisical, so laid back, so comfortable in their non-delivered state, so comfortable in their addictions and their affliction, so comfortable in their poverty-stricken state, so comfortable in their dysfunctions, in their relationship, that they have learned to take their time in deliverance? And God began to talk to me. He said, when a man comes to the altar, when a man wants to be delivered of me, when a man really wants to get rid of what is on the inside of me, he said, my power is sufficient to deliver him just like that. He don't need counseling. He doesn't need anybody to lay any hands on him, because greater, I can't tell you how many people I know that have gotten delivered instantly, never went back to church, and still delivered. I can't tell you how many people that have encountered the power of God, never joined a church, went back to some other sin, but never went back to that sin, because the power of God beat that sin and drove it out of him. Whatever happened, ask your neighbor, whatever happened to the power of God in the house of God? My God, my God. Pastor, I need counseling. Pastor, the Lord knows my heart. Pastor, I'm struggling with it. Pastor, I started and I stopped. Well, it looks like to me that you're not acknowledging the power of God, the anointing of God that rests on the inside. And it makes me believe that you... Somebody say the it factor. The it factor. 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse. And then you can go to Jeremiah. 1 John. God spoke so eloquently yesterday. I said, God, what is going on? He said, if the church does not turn around, if the church does not get frantic, somebody say frantic. If the church don't get frantic about what the devil is doing in their life, if the church don't get mad about what the devil is taking out of their life, the enemy's going to come in and he's going to kill, he's going to steal, and he's going to destroy, and he's going to wipe out the church. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But he didn't say if the church... Oh, if you give it to the devil, he'll take it. If you submit to the devil, you'll... My God. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than what? Now, wait a minute. Greater is he that is in you. The translation. Let me give you a real 21st century translation. Before your mother met your father, before your grandmother met your grandfather, God knew every encounter, every addiction, every affliction, every spirit of dysfunction that will come upon you. And he said while he was forming you and shaping you, they're getting ready to go through this and this. So I got to put this in them. Oh, they're going to go through this and this and such and such. Let me put this in them. So what he's saying is this. He said, what I put in you. Somebody point to themselves and say, in me. See, he said, what I have put in you outside of time is sufficient for what you are facing inside of time. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Did you understand what I am saying? See, we're so busy asking God. Say, God, I need a little bit more. You don't need no more. You need to use what God has already given you. You don't need to be doing this and that. You need to pull out of you what God has already given you. Greater is he that's at the altar begging God to help you. At the altar telling God you can't make it no more. You need a little bit more strength. He said, I'm sitting on the right hand of the Father. He said, I'm resting until I come back. What else do you need me to give you? I gave you every talent. I gave you every ability. I gave you every capability. I gave you wisdom and knowledge. All you got to do is learn how to activate and use what I've given you. But let me explain something to you. Most saints of God are so lazy. Lazy, number one. Number two, you like what you're doing. Number three, you like what you're involved in. Sometimes deliverance ain't that important to you. Have you ever been in a situation where deliverance wasn't that important to you? Because you had this going on over here. You was buying a house over here and a car over there. And you were climbing up their corporate ladder and it was looking good for you. And so deliverance wasn't that important to you. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you were comfortable in your mess? Have you ever got comfortable in your mess? Have you ever got comfortable in your addiction? Have you ever got comfortable in your affliction? Well, it didn't mean that much to you. And because I got this and this and such, and I'm looking just as good as anybody else, then I... When you get comfortable in your mess, it's a devil talking in your ear. When you get comfortable... Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Comfortable. Situation been happening to me. the last 6 weeks, and I can say it because see, I'm not like some of y'all. Because see, I know if I confess it, it'll leave me. Hello, somebody. The Bible said, confess your sin, and he'll cleanse you of your sin. And see, when I was a kid, I was an angry kid. I would knock you out in a minute, cuss you out in a minute, kick you down in a minute. But when I got saved, I was able to master my emotions. The Lord taught me how to master my emotions. Somebody say master. See, that's the thing about being a saint of God. See, when you follow God the way you're supposed to follow God, you're able to master you. Hello, somebody. See, we want to master everybody else. We want to tell everybody else what to do. But God said, you got to master you. And the last 6 weeks, it looked like everybody was bothering me. It looked like everybody was making me mad. And it looked like a spirit of anger came on me. And I was hooping and hollering and throwing my keys and getting up in folks' face. And I went home. I said, God, what is going on? I called Pastor Terry. I said, look, something is happening to me because these people are aggravating me to such an extent that I want to kill me some Christians. See, y'all looking so spiritual. You mean to tell me that the pastor want to kill some Christians? Some of y'all just got out of a fight last night. I say want to kill, didn't say didn't touch them. Hello, some of you cussed out somebody last night. Hello, somebody. And God had to deal with me. He said, that's the spirit of anger coming upon you. He said, the enemy has sent lying spirits and aggravating spirits and people that's trying to do you in. He said, instead of you reacting according to the word of God, instead of you taking the word of God the way you should take the word of God, your flesh has got mad. Now, I need to warn you. Let me tell you something. When my flesh gets mad, you better run. Did you hear me? And I'm not saying I'm so bad, but what I'm saying is the same devil that ruled me before I got saved, he's trying to creep back. Did you hear me? You got to understand that greater is in you than he that's in the world. That means that whatever I'm facing, I can instantly overcome it. Because the power of God instantly overcomes anything. Hello, somebody. You on your knees for 15 years. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Take this nicotine spirit. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah. It's been 15 years, God. And I'm still smoking. Oh, I love you, God. Then you get up. Am I telling the truth? I ain't just talking about smoking. I'm talking about whatever you're asking God to do. See, the reason why the thing keep coming back is because you're praying to get rid of it and you're still doing it. When you get through praying, when the thing comes over you, you got to fight them like a bear. I come to tell you that the devil is dumber than a box of rocks. Yes, he is. He'll keep coming at you. Even though he know you got the power of God, on one hand he's dumb, but on the other hand he's slick and cunning because he's watching you. He knows you have no control. He knows you're still doing what you're doing. He knows you're putting on a front. And so he begins to creep back on you. And before you know it, you're back where you started. Before you know it, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Does that make sense? Come here, Mike. Come here, Mike. I'm going to show you something. Come here, Mike. Come here. Terrell. Come here, Brian. Get behind me. Come here, Sheree, and try to beat me up with them behind me. Sheree, come. See, you ain't even coming. Look at Terrell waiting on you. Act act like you're coming. You can't even get close to me. Look at Brian. See, that's what he's talking about when he say greater. See, if I'm obedient to God and I'm not rebellious and I'm not trying to cover up my sin when the enemy comes. Come on, Cherie. What's in me steps up front and I back up, and what's in me, what's in me, what's in me begins to fight for me. Clap your hands for the Lord. Did you hear what I said? See, that's how come I know you're not fighting. Because when the enemy comes, if you're obedient and not rebellious and not loving you more than you love God, what's in me, what's in you, I'll push you back and say, wait a minute, we're the Spirit of God. Wait a minute, we're the revelation of God. Wait a minute, we're the power of God. Wait a minute. Don't mess with me this morning. Don't mess with me this morning. I'm so sick of the saints of God sitting on their seats talking about how come they ain't delivered. The devil made me do it. I did it because my husband got mad at me. I did it because my wife spent too much money. You lying devil, you. You did it because you wanted to. Hello? Hello, am I right? I got so mad one time, I put my fist in the wall, in the door. I won't tell you who I wanted to hit. Nobody, of course, in this room. And I got convicted. Plus, my fist was hurting. It was all scarred up. I just got my little nails done. And I just said, bam! Look at that stuff. And I said, God, I'm sorry for that album. He said, you're not sorry. He said, you're not sorry. He said, you wanted to do that. He said, you've been waiting for a time to do that. He said, this was an opportune moment. How many of you ever waited to get down? Come on, tell the truth now. How many of you ever waited to get down? How many of you waited to, should I say get down? No. How many of you waited to get down and dirty? Get down and sinful. Get down and do what you want to do. Get down, hallelujah, and walk with what you want to walk with. Eat what you want to eat. Say, how many of you ever waited? You just like a lion crouched, waiting for your enemy. If this happened, I'm going to do this. You pre-planned it. What do they call that when people... premeditated get down dirty. Premeditated get down dirty. Come on, wave your hand. How many of you have a premeditated get down dirty? Waiting for the opportunity. Waiting so you can blame somebody else. But David said, it's not my mother, it's not my brother, it's me alone that stands in the need of prayer. Say it. Now don't use that term because I may trademark it. Premeditated get down dirty. Write that down, Claudette. We're going to trademark that. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, the first chapter. So greatest in you than he that's in the world actually means that what is in you, listen to this, is far more powerful and far more effective than anything that you will ever face. Notice what I am saying. What is in you, the presence of God? What is in you, the talent, the ability, the capabilities of God? What is in you, the effectiveness of God, the wisdom of God, the revelation of God? What is in you, the prayer of God, is far more powerful than what you would ever face. And so when you are facing diabolical situations, when you are facing addictions and afflictions and appetites and lust and passions, you don't have to run. And I'm not saying not call someone for prayer. That is not what I am saying. I'm not saying not to collaborate with someone that is just as strong as you are. But what I am saying is, it's already there. Reach on the inside of you. Did you hear me? It's already, the Bible said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, that man may have dominion and authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field. Let us make a man like us to operate like we operate, to have power like we have power. When men speak, let the creative ability of man come out of their mouth. Let us make a man to respond and react like the Trinity. That's what God is talking about. That's where your prayer came. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Where? On earth. Somebody say on earth. On earth. See, let me explain something to you. God does not want you to fail on earth. Jesus said, greater work shall you do. When Jesus left this earth, he said, hold on. He said, don't start crying because I'm getting ready to leave. He said, the same power that resides in me resides in you. He said, greater work shall you do. He said, if I cast out devils, you cast out devils. If I open blind eyes, you open blind eyes. If the dead will be raised under my ministry, the dead will be raised, and you don't even have to have a ministry. Why? The presence of God is in you. Get away from this notion that it only happens to the preacher. God only uses a select 4 or 5 people. The devil is a lie. The same Holy Ghost that resides in me resides in you. The same power that resides in me resides in you. The same anointing that's on my life. Jeremiah, the first chapter. My God. Starting at the 4th verse. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak before I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Look at what the Lord is saying. He said, Jeremiah, before your mother met your father or your grandfather met your grandmother, he said, I equipped you and I gave you talents and abilities and capabilities for you to become a prophet. He said, now, Jeremiah, you're a teenager and it is time for you to fulfill your assignment. Let me explain what I am saying. Every one of us have assignments. Some of us have more assignments than others. Some assignments are more detailed and more powerful than others. But there's not a creature on the face of the earth that does not have an assignment. A bee is assigned to make honey. He has an assignment. A cow is put here for meat and dairy products. He has an assignment. And the only difference between you and I and animals and birds and bees and fleas is birds and bees and fleas cannot say no to God because their assignment is in them and they automatically operate in what God has given them. We are the only beings on the face of the earth that can say no to God. We can have all the gifts and talents and abilities and capabilities that we want. And we can say, no, I don't want to do it. No, I don't want to live holy. No, I don't want to be delivered of this, that, and such and such. No, I want to keep what I got because I like what I got. And so the cow cannot say that. See, we don't understand that animals automatically operate with what God gives them. Have you ever noticed that? You ain't never heard a dog say meow. Hello? You ain't never seen a cow birth a chicken. A cow is going to do dairy products. They're going to cut him up. He's going to be good steak, good this, good that. Hello? Because that's his assignment. But when it comes down to you and I, We are free will agents. You know what a free will agent is? When God created you and I, he created you and I like he, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was created with a free will. We have a will to live holy. We have a will to get delivered. We have a will to say, we can say no. Now, you'd be foolish to say no to God. Hello, somebody, but you, how many of you, I said no before. How many of you ever said no? How many of you got punished for saying no? We can say no. And that's what trips us up. That's what makes us think that we're bad. Because we can say no, and it's not serious, dire consequences the moment we stop doing it. Because, see, God is merciful. Have you ever noticed God is merciful? See, some parents get you right then. Some bosses fire you right then. Some policemen take you to jail. They don't care if this is your first driving offense. You get locked up today. Hello, somebody. You're going to get a ticket today. All right? God is merciful. He is so very merciful that sometimes he will allow you to be in your mess for years and years, and you will begin to think twisted. Tell your neighbor, don't get it twisted. Tell another neighbor, say, don't get it twisted. The reason why God allows you to operate in your mess is that he is giving you room to repent and get it together. You're not special. You're not entitled to anything that any one of us is not entitled to. But what he does is, he says, I love you so much, I'm going to give you another year. I love you so much, I'm going to give you another 2 weeks to get it together. And when he gives you another year, another 2 weeks, he always sends somebody to warn you. He always sends somebody to encourage you that you can do what he said you can do. But it is always up to us to do the bidding of God. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. No, wait a minute. You can write this down. Notice what he said, the 8th verse. Be not afraid of their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee. But wait a minute. He said, Jeremiah, I commission you to do this. He said, but if they start some stuff, he said, I'm always there to help you complete your assignment. Now, and I employ people. I'm not going to pay you and do your job. But God will give you what you need to do your job. And then he will help you do your job. Hello, somebody. God is like a person that cheats on a test. Now, before you look at me crazy, God will ask you a question. And then turn around and give you the answer. And then wait for you to give him the answer. Did you hear what else? Have it ever happened to you? God will ask you a question. And he will turn around and give you the answer. And then he will wait for you to give him the answer. That's just how bad he wants you to prosper. That's just how bad he wants you to be victorious. That's just how bad he wants you to win. With a God like that, how come we are not serving him to the level that he wants us to serve him? What is going on in our minds where we're serving money and food and we're serving other people and we're serving entertainment and we're serving clothes and jobs and employment and we won't serve God? What is happening to the saints of God that we love everything and everybody more than we love our God? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy strength, and thy might. Write this down. We are all equipped to excel in life. But what stops us is this. Satan will send demonic forces to stop you. He'll tell you stuff like, you're not ready, you can't, you're not equipped, you're the wrong race, you got the wrong gender, you got the wrong background, He'll make you lazy. He'll make you unconcerned. He will make you feel like you're entitled to get what you're not entitled to get. And he'll make you feel like you're going to get it even though you're not working. Have you ever thought you was going to get something and you didn't never work for it? Hello? You heard a real good message. We used to go to E.R. Allen's church. And she would say, your ship is coming in. It's coming in. And she prophesied to everybody. But what I didn't understand was that she was prophesying to the people that had sent their ships out. Ain't no sense in you looking for your ship to come back and you ain't sent no ship out. Hello? Does that make sense? Ain't no sense in you looking for a harvest and you ain't planted nothing. And see, this is what we're doing. We're looking for a harvest and we have not a harvest of good health, and we do nothing to make good health. A harvest of money, we can't pay our tithes, we're not givers. A harvest of good relationships, and we cussing everybody else out. And we talking about, I'm waiting for my harvest to come in. Oh, my harvest is on the way. My husband is on the way. You cuss out the paper boy. You think God gonna send you a... Does that make sense? See, let me explain something. God is a good businessman. He doesn't give you what you have not released. The only thing you get free with God is salvation. And after you get salvation, you got to pay to keep it. Am I right? You got to work to keep it. Everything else, you got to sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Hello? You want a good marriage? You got to put something in it. Does that make sense? Your husband come home. What's to eat, honey? Whatever you cook. Hello? Am I? Your wife talking about, we ain't been out in 10 years. He said, you keep talking to me, it's going to be 11 because I ain't taking you nowhere. Oh, come on. Does that make sense? See, we think because we're the people of God that showers of blessings are going to be coming. That's what they taught us. If we just come to church, showers of blessings. How many of you just came to church ain't seen a shower yet? Hello? Ain't seen a shower. You know why? Remember when Jacob was on the rock? And the Bible says that he was on the rock and he saw angels coming and going, coming and going. They were bringing things and taking things. Angels can't even bring you what God wants you to have until you send them with. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Evie Hill had a sign in the back of his church. He said, well, little is given, let little be said. Hello. John 10. Wait a minute. Before I get off of Jeremiah, go down to the 18th verse. He said, behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. But the 17th verse says, but thou therefore gird up thy loins. Get ready. Get your strength together when God tells you to do something. Get your strength together when you are facing a diabolical situation. Get your strength together when you got a circumstance and a situation and hell is raining in your life. Stop being a punk. Gird up your loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Look at what he said to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I am sure that you are equipped because I equipped you. I am sure you got the goods because I gave you the goods. I am sure you got the wisdom because I gave you the wisdom. He said, but if you act like a punk and act like you cannot do what I have assigned you to do, I will make you look foolish before people. Because if you don't do what I tell you to do, it simply means that you are disobeying me. Hello? Somebody say disobey. See, we have another word for disobedience. This is what we say to disobey. Well, I ain't perfect yet, but I'm getting there. How long is it going to take you? You've been saved 100 years. Hello, this is what we tell each other? Is this what we tell ourselves? Well, I ain't as bad as I used to be. At least I'm not what I was 10 years ago. You weren't supposed to be in that spot 10 years ago. Hello. He told Jeremiah, he said, gird up your loins. He said, use the strength that I have given you. Use the talent, the ability, the capability that I have given you to complete the assignment that I have given. What assignment has God given you? It is not always a preaching assignment. Some people are called to be doctors and lawyers. Some people are called to be teachers. Some people are called to be garbage men. Some people are only going to be mothers all of their life. And some people are called to do this, that, and such and such. But whatever you are called to do, he said, I have equipped you that you will be profitable and product and have much productivity in what you are doing. So much productivity that people will stand back and they will marvel at your assignment. That's the best garbage man I ever seen in my life. That's the best janitor I ever seen in my life. That man, I mean, when he clean, it is sparkling. That's what God wants people to say about you. You running on your job, talking about you a Christian, half doing everything. And your boss is a heathen. And he looking at you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Does that make sense? We're the light of the world. You know what the light of the world means? We're supposed to show the world how to do it. We're supposed to show the world how to profit. We're supposed to show the world how to bring productivity in every area of our lives. CNN should not be talking to the saints of God. The saints of God should be talking to CNN. Hear me. You are now entering into an age where the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, wait a minute, because some of you will go home, quit your job, and wait. That's not what it means. What it means is this area we are in right now, where you are seeing corporations flip-flop. You are seeing people of color being rushed into powerful positions. You are seeing the stock market just fluctuating, and people that couldn't buy stock now can buy stock. What God is saying is, he says, I'm getting ready to take the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top. That's what he's saying. Hello, somebody. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I bought their truck from them. And I was calling them because I wanted to know. I said, hey, I got 3 more payments on this joker. Hey, it's over. And she said, Blossom, I'm so happy. She said, I just bought a brand new house in Harvey, cash. She bought it for taxes because there's an opportunity. Because when God begins to flip-flop and he takes the top to the bottom and brings the bottom to the top, that means the bottom has a chance at the same advantages and the same opportunities that the top has. But you got to be ready. Hello, somebody. You got to be ready. You can't eat up everything, spend everything, pawn everything, don't save a penny, and then when God does this, you don't have anything to invest in. You can't get in on the bottom level because you have nothing. Can I talk to you? See, we are show-off people. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. This chain, somebody bought it for me. The chain I got under here, somebody bought it for me. My kids were laughing at me because my kids got diamond rings. When I get a diamond ring, my daughter Rita buy it, or my daughter Pam buy it, or my daughter Alicia buy it, because I ain't trying to buy gold, okay? And they said, Mama, you got to get with it. You got to get some bling bling. You know, bling bling. What that mean? That mean I got to pay $200 for a chain. And I could put the $200 in the bank. Bling, bling. What that mean? That means I could pay $300 for a bracelet.
And when you call me for $300, son, that got $1,000 worth of gold, I won't have the $300 to lend you. And you can't pay that. Take that kid and give him to the landlord. Clap your hands to the Holy Ghost. Take the kid and give him to the landlord. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's right. Take the kid that you're trying to show off. You want everybody to know your kid got name brand shoes on. I would like to follow you home and look in your refrigerator. I guarantee you ain't nothing but butter and water in there. Butter, water, and bread. And you waiting for the next check, hello? The next 30th or the next first or the next third. And it ain't nothing wrong with that. But whatever God gives you, whether it's $600 a month or $6,000 a month, he said if you use it wisely, if you use what's in you to operate with what I give you, he said I'll multiply it over and over and over again. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan has a multitude of weapons that he will employ to stop you from using the it factor. Some methods are more divisive and diabolical than others, but all of his weapons have the same goal. What goal is that? To keep you from becoming like him. That's Satan's main job in your life. God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, that man may have dominion and authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of... Let us make a man like us, just as powerful as we are. And Satan is in the background. And he said, what can I do to stop them from becoming like him? He said, because him whooped me 2,000 years ago. Hello? What can I do to stop them from knowing what he has placed in them? What can I do to stop them from understanding how powerful and how diverse, how talented, how gifted they are? How can I trick them out of their potential, out of their purpose, and out of their destiny? That's what he does on a daily basis. He tricks you out of your destiny. I declare, I promise you, I don't have to lie to you. When I die, I'm going to be ready to go to sleep. Hello? Because I told the Lord, I'm going to use everything you give me. Hello? If now, I don't want to pastor until I got pastor in 70s. No, I don't want to do that. I ain't trying to be Moses. But I might be on a cane 90. I got a group of people teaching them how to whoop the devil's butt. And can't hardly talk. John 10:10. Where that at, baby?
read the scripture for me. And they read the scripture, and I'm teaching them. Because your job is to use what God has given you to equip and enable everybody else to. Does that make sense? See, you got stuff in you to help somebody else. Hello? How many of you ever helped somebody else get to the next level? Hello? See, your gift, your talent, your ability, your capability, your wisdom, and your resources, it's not just for you. It's for you to use to help somebody else get to their destiny, fulfill their potential, reach their purpose. But some of you are selfish and lazy, and you're like Burger King people, just you. I was driving behind a man yesterday, and he had a sticker on his car, and the sticker says, "All about me." It's all about me. When it becomes all about you, you are now pushing the purpose of God backwards. You are now pushing the potential that God has put in you away. You are now pushing your destiny away. Because if it's all about you, you will never be able to activate what God gives you. Because God never gives you anything just for you. Hello? God never gives you anything. The Michael Jordan, the baddest basketball player on the face of the earth, his gift wasn't for just him. He inspired basketball players, other athletes. Hello, somebody. Folk went back to school. It wasn't just for him. Does that make sense? Orville Wright created the plane. It wasn't just for him. He's dead. He ain't riding in no plane. It was for the people that came after him. And he created the plane or designed the plane or whatever you want to say, invented the plane for the people after him. Who is coming after him, after you? And what legacy are you gonna leave? Hello? What legacy? If they just saw you just doing nothing. Yeah, watching TV. Coming to church, watching TV and eating. Junior! And he's sitting right here. Change the channel. When you die, guess what? Junior gonna do the same thing. Hello? Because that's the legacy that you left. My parents were hardworking parents. So consequently, all of their children are hardworking children. And if your parents were not hardworking parents, then you have to train yourself to work hard. Hello? Work hard. Pay your bills. Well, I ain't never seen nobody pay a bill. Live in an apartment and not pay a bill here. No lights, no gas, no water. You should live in the apartment building that my grandmother used to have years ago. When you didn't pay your rent after the fifth day, the first thing that went off was the gas. On the 10th day, your lights went out. On the 15th day, your water was gone. And she would be sitting at the table laughing. She waiting on you now. And if you was real bad and wasn't going to pay nothing, as soon as the sheriff came, she got your furniture and gone. Ain't no sense in going home. Leo got your stuff and gone. Did you hear what I said? See, we got to be accountable as saints of God. Uh-oh, that's a bad word, ain't it? Oh, my God, my God, my God. I had a lady call me up, and she said, "Pastor," she said, "I got a great idea." I said, "What is that?" She said, "I got a great, great idea to put money in my pocket. I'm listening." She said, "I'm going to sign my son up and put him on SSI. I'm saying, "You gonna put your son on SSI? She said, "Yeah." She said, "He's having problems in school." I said, "But your son is brilliant. It don't make a difference. They gonna give me a check." Wait a minute. You don't understand what I'm saying. She getting ready to mess up the future of the son for the present of her right now. The son don't need to be on SSI.
But the government is saying SSI for those that need it. And some people are looking at SSI because I can get it. And as just your son or your daughter, whatever he is or she is, as they go on in life, those records follow them what? For the rest of their life. Folk, we got to get it together. We got to teach our children to use what's on the inside of them. We got to teach our children that gifts and talents and abilities and capabilities, it looks like it comes from mom and dad because mom and dad got the same gifts and talents. No, 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 no. It didn't come from your mother. It didn't come from your father. It came from God. It's just coincidentally that your mama got the same gift that you had, but the same God that gave it to you gave it to your mama, and the same God that gave it to your daddy gave it to you. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Like him, the Lord never uses, you can write this down, anything outside of him. Go to Genesis. When God created heaven and earth, he used what was on the inside of him. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Ghost. And God said, let there be light. And there was what? Wait a minute. God didn't go get no wires. God didn't go put nothing together. Light was on the inside of him. All he did was speak what was on the inside of him to come out. And that's what he tells you to do. He said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. He shall what? He shall have whatsoever he saith. He said, you facing something? He said, fill your inner man with the word of God and begin to attack that thing with the word of God. You got to speak to addiction. You got to speak to poverty. You got to speak to sickness. Does that make sense? We celebrate Easter. We don't even know why we celebrate an Easter. Oh, he died on the cross for us. No, 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 no. He died on the cross for sin, sickness, poverty, and death. But he died to put you back to your original state. Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, that man may have dominion and authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field. Satan came along and stole it from Adam and Eve. And now he has got to become as a son in the earth and walk without sin so he can give back to you authority and dominion. You don't understand who you are. That's why you're acting the way you're acting. You don't understand what you have. That's why you act the way you act. Hello? How many of you, when your parents used to take you somewhere, just in case you would act up, they would tell you. My mother would sit us down. Well, we getting ready to go to Miss Ella Mae's house. And she would always address, now, Pam, you better not be saying da-da-da-da-da, and you got to do this. And you better not ask for no food. And when she says, do you want something, you better say no. Now, what do a kid do with that? She come through there with a cake. And you looking at your mama, and my mother had an evil eye. She looked at you. She said, do you want some, Pamela? And all the saliva going down your throat. And you can taste the chocolate cake. No, ma'am, we've already eaten. Thank you, ma'am. Then you're looking at your mama. You know she ain't gonna buy you no chocolate cake when you get home. You ain't got nothing but some raisin bread. But if you, does that make sense? But guess what? What she was saying was, you have got to act like and you have got to be what I've taught you. Hello? Wait a minute, you didn't get that. You got to act like and you've got to become what the word has taught you. Now let me ask you a question. Can people tell that you are word-taught people by your actions, by what comes out of your mouth, by your reactions? Can people tell that you have your body in subjection? Can people tell that you have your mouth in subjection, your mind in subjection? Can people tell that you are under the subjection of Jesus Christ by your action? That's what I'm talking about. We got to examine ourselves. On a daily basis, we got to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. My daughter was talking about somebody was talking to her and was telling her how they didn't want to do this in the church, but they were smoking and drinking and going to the boat. We got to examine ourselves. If the world looks at you, will they see themselves or will they see Jesus? Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. My God. You can write this down if you wish. The way that you can activate the it factor is that you constantly communicate with your God, number one. You consistently, as much as you can, obey God, number two. And you allow him to release to you wisdom. Wisdom. Listen to what I am trying to tell you. The Bible says, he that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to you liberally and unbraided not. How many of y'all been in a situation you didn't know what to do? Hello? And how many of you asked men what to do and they gave you the wrong answer? But how many of you asked God what to do and he got you out of that situation? If any man lack wisdom, see, sometimes you're stuck on yourself. Sometimes we have so much word in us that we'll take a word that we have for a situation and we'll think that's the word for that situation. It may be the word for the last situation, but it is not the word for this particular situation. So now you got to go back and ask God, what do I use for this situation? It looks similar, but it is not. That's why when you go to prayer and you pray the same thing over and over again, you're just wasting your time. Hello, you're just wasting your time. Hello, because every time you pray, it should be a different type of prayer. It should have a different sound. It shouldn't be the same words over and over and over again, because you know what? Demons change. Situations change. Their strategies change. Their entrapment change. It looks like they are the same, but it is not. Satan is just as diverse as the kingdom of God. Did you hear what I said? Satan is just as diverse as the kingdom of God. And what he will do, he will make you think that you are battling the same thing, but you will not be battling the same thing. You got two kids that's rebelling, and you're dealing with both of them the same way. One's gonna respond and one will not, because they're two different individual kids. So it is with you and your situations. So now, Satan's job is to stop the knowledge that God will give you to activate what you need to excel. John 14:12, quickly, I'm going to give you a synopsis. It says, greater work shall you do. He says, I'm getting ready to go and sit on the right hand of the Father. He said, but greater work shall you do. You know what he's saying? Jesus said, look, you've witnessed me walk on this earth. Blind eyes have opened, the dumb have talked, the lame have walked, deaf ears have been unstopped. My God, I fed millions, thousands of people. He said, greater work shall you do. What is he saying? He's saying, as you activate what God has put in you, as you activate what has been placed in you before the foundation of the world, you will be able to do greater than I have been able to do. How do I activate it? By obedience. See, we can't obey God. That's why most saints are full of talent and ability and capability and resources, and nothing is happening in their life. Because you can't activate. You know why you can't activate it? Activation comes by obedience, consistency, faithfulness, a love for God. See, that's how you unlock what's on the inside of you. Hello? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Let me give you a translation. Delight yourself in God, and I'll show you how to get what's on the inside of you. I'll show you how to use what's on the inside of you. And what's on the inside of you will bring you a profit. It will bring you in productivity. It will make you fruitful. It will heal you. It will deliver you. Delight yourself. Fall in love with me, and I'll tell you all my secrets. Hello? I won't say nothing. Do you know all Shonda's secrets? You better have the right answer. Do you know his secrets? If she knows him, she ain't gonna tell it. Let me explain what I'm saying. The closer you get to a person, the more they tell you the intimate things about them. Does that make sense? Because they can trust you. I know married couples can't trust each other. I ain't going to sleep with nobody I can't trust. They getting up, going to the bathroom, coming back with a knife. Uh-uh. Hello, somebody. See, the closer you get to someone, the more comfortable you will feel. And you'll feel so comfortable, so relaxed, so full of trust, you'll start telling them secrets. When I first got married years ago, 30-some years ago, Ray would get up. He'd get back. He'd get up again. Hey, I ain't trying to be a number. I don't know you like that. I just married you, but I don't know you like that. I got to get to really, you understand what I'm saying? He talking about, come on, I'll fix you something to eat. You eat it first. Especially if we done had an argument, you eat it first. Hello? Because that's the way my father was suspicious, so I'm suspicious. He did the same thing. He be chipping up the steps. I can hear him sometimes. I just stood up there waiting. What you looking for? I was just walking up the steps. He trying to catch something. Because we just got married. We didn't trust each other. It takes a while to trust people. Hello? Does that make sense? He said, delight yourself in me. He said, and I will trust you so much that I'll give you anything you want. He said, everything I put on the inside of you, I'll show you how to activate it. I'll show you how to make the money you want to make. I'll show you how to climb the corporate ladder. I'll show you how to put your marriage together. He said, but I need you to get close to me. He said, I don't want to give you no secret and you go take all the money and give it to the world. Hello, somebody. See, that's what we do. Hello? You can tell when the saints is having a hard time. They break the church door down. Hello? They on the altar. The preacher ain't even opened the door. When the preacher coming. And you can tell when the saints are doing good. He said, I need consistency. I need you to walk with me and hold my hand all the days of your life. He said, while you're walking with me and holding my hand, he said, I'm going to reveal to you what's on the inside of you. The world is telling you that you're nothing, that you're black and you live in the hood and you are statistical and you're going to die and you're on drugs and you're poverty stricken. He said, but I'm telling you that you are the apple of my eye. I'm telling you that what I put on the inside of you, it can excel. I'll take it from level to level and faith to faith. I'll make you a millionaire. I'll give you notoriety. I'll make you so popular in your field that they will applaud what you do because
I have equipped you. Stop looking for men to equip you. Stop looking for men to pat you on the back. The closer you walk with him, your consistency, the closer you walk with him, your consistency and your obedience will open up to you what he has for you. Tell your neighbor, I want to know what he has for me. Tell another neighbor, I want to know what he has for me. We are entitled to what God has and what the kingdom of God has for us. Entitlement. I don't want to preach, I don't want to go past this because I have a message on entitlement, the spirit of entitlement. But before you were born, he released to you everything you needed. It's not working in you. You know why it's not working in you? You're not walking with him close enough so he can tell you about it. Some of you don't want him to tell you about it because if he tells you about it, he wants you to work it. And some of you are not interested in going to the next level. What a pity it is when you have all of this in you and you're not concerned about going to the next level. How tragic it is going to be when you stand before God and God asks you one question. What did you do with the gifts, the talents, the abilities, and the capabilities that I gave you? How did you handle the wisdom that I released? Did you bring the gifts to productivity? Did you make a profit off of it? Were you fruitful? Did you equip and enable someone else with what I gave you? What did you do with it? It's just like a father or a mother that gives a child $200 and tells the child, say, I want you to go and I want you to buy your school clothes. And they come back with a box of Michael Jordan gym shoes. Hello? Irresponsible. And you say, well, Junior, what about your pants? What about your t-shirts? Well, this is what I want. I guess you just gonna have to give me some more money. You gonna be wearing Michael Jordan t-shirts? Oh, you gonna wear the shoe on your hat, on your head? You're going to be, let's not be irresponsible. The it factor. Let me say something. Sometimes you are involved with people that are not going anywhere. They don't want to go to the next level. They're comfortable with what they are doing. And if you don't get away from them or you don't move away, they will stagnate you. I heard this preacher say this. He had preached a message. He said the presence of God was on this girl. I think it was Brian R. Bunkie. And he said, sister, did you receive Jesus? And she said, she started crying. And she said, no, I didn't receive Jesus. He said, why did you not receive Jesus? She said, because my boyfriend hates Jesus. He said, sister, you got to push the boyfriend aside because it is time for you to receive Jesus and come into the kingdom of God. She's just weeping and walked away. And what they said was this. They said the next day his secretary came in and told her, it's been a terrible accident. That same woman that did not want to do what God told her to do and what the man of God had told her to do was in a terrible accident and died. But that was not the line of the story. He began to weep and cry. And he said, God, I repent. He said, did I do everything that I could do to bring her to Jesus? Because I understand that my assignment was to bring her to Jesus. And the Lord spoke to him and told him, you did. Now, I said all of that to say that every one of you have an assignment. Every one of you have gifts and talents and abilities and capabilities, resources. My God. And what God gives you helps you get where you're going, and it helps other people get where they're going. How many people
will be stopped? How many people will die and go to hell? How many people will remain in poverty? How many people will remain sick? How many people will remain addicted because you did not complete your assignment? Or because they looked at your life and they will not receive what you gave them because you have not shown them an overcoming attitude? See, we are responsible one to another. Does that make sense? How many people will remain on drugs because you own drugs? What child in your neighborhood will see you high and think that you are a mentor and they will decide to stay high? What young girl will go the opposite way because you have gone the opposite way and you have not showed her the light of the world? I need you to understand that the it factor is serious. It will give you a profit, but it will judge you. Because what God gives you, he gives it to you for somebody else. And somebody else is for you. Hello? Does that make sense? It's not just you giving. God sends somebody else in your life to give to you. It's not just you comforting. God sends somebody else in your life to comfort you. It's not just you, my God, correcting and rebuking. God sends somebody to correct and rebuke you. It's not just you telling somebody to go on, go ahead, you can do it. God will send somebody else in your life to encourage you. But you got to activate it. You activate it by obeying God. I need you to understand, we are our brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. It's not all about you. And most people, when it becomes all about, watch their lives. They're self-centered and they're bound. Self-centered and bound. Because when it's all about them, that means they have no regard for the word of God. And they will disobey God in a heartbeat when it's all about them. I need you to start thinking. I need you to reflect. I just need you to just take another moment to start thinking about the world, your surroundings, the hood, the neighborhood. Who can I help? What gift is in me that I can use for somebody else? What do I have that somebody else needs? I'm not just talking about money. Gift of kindness, the gift of counseling. You've been on drugs and you should know how to counsel somebody and keep people off of drugs and help them stay off of drugs. You've been abused and so now you can minister to somebody that's been abused. No, you don't want to minister to them because you don't want them to know your business. Hello? And so you keep all of that gift, all of that wisdom, all of that revelation, all of those things that you've gone through that can help somebody else not go through what you've gone through. It's all bottled up on the inside of you, and that woman's gonna die. A Caucasian lady that we pastored came back to the church on the other day, and she came in with her grandson, and she said, "Pastor," she said, "my daughter has been shot in the shoulder. She's okay." She said, "but my daughter wants the man to go free. And they had him on attempt murder. But his family is well, his family is black and they're well connected. And they're trying to get him out of jail. And my daughter is siding with the people that are trying to get out of jail." I said, "why would your daughter side with somebody that's trying to get out of jail, that shot her?" She said, "because I abandoned her, just like my mama abandoned me." She said, "she has a need to be loved, and she's holding on to this man." And she told me, she said, "I can't put my baby's daddy in jail." I don't understand thinking like that, but I do understand thinking like that, because no one loved her. The woman that I was talking to abandoned her, and her mother abandoned her and put her on the streets as a prostitute at 9 years old. But it was saints all around them. Where was the saints at? Hello, where was the saints? It had to be, she was raised on 47th Street. Caucasian girl raised on 47th. You know 47th Street got, at least got.